tell me a little bit about your relationship with Lily and about witnessing your sister, who had been living one kind of life, undergo this transition.
Yes. So I will say that, similar to Barbara, I had a bigger career at one point in my life and was in a position at one point to kind of step back away from it. And I got my teaching certificate. So then I became a teacher as my second career. And so I think my relationship with Lily, she always looks at me kind of like I know something because I'm a teacher. So as she follows her rules in life, teachers do know things. And so I like to think of myself as being able to provide some advice and guidance. And I love her to death. And I was thrilled to be able to go with Barbara to China when she got her. And then more recently, I went to China with my niece, or with my other sister, Judy, to get my niece, Kate. And the difference between the two trips was the ability to reach out and touch back to America, you know, just the electronic difference, you know, in the electronic age. And yeah, we called on the phone and had like maybe 10 minutes that we were talking on the phone. Oh, we have the baby and that type of thing. And one of my girlfriends had like a $150 phone bill after we had been to China, you know, and talking to us. And then you could do it all free on the internet by the time we went to get the next one. So that was quite a difference. But when Barbara said that she wanted to adopt, we all couldn't imagine it because she was very career oriented and worked a lot and was always busy. And, you know, when exactly are you going to have a baby in your life? But, you know, a couple of my little stories of being with her as a first time mother. One point we're in this very small hotel room in Guilin, or in Nanning, China, which was the capital of her province. And we both have our like full size bed, and then there's a crib in the room, and it was just very tight living, not necessarily what we were used to. And the bathroom was to the side, and it had like one step up to get into the bathroom. So I was in the bathroom and brushing my teeth or something, and all of a sudden Barbara comes in and she's brushing her teeth or doing her hair, and all I go, "Where's the who's watching the baby?" And the next thing we hear, plop. So she kind of slid off. She slid off the bed. So we always told Lily that story when she was young, and she enjoyed that. the first moment of not watching her. But when we were on our trip, I would say there were five families that were on our adoption trip together, and each one of the babies seemed like they got matched with the parents that were perfect for them. You know, there was one amongst the kids, they were all like born within a month of each other. And one of the little girls was already walking, and her mother was this big runner and athlete and stuff. And so that baby went well with her. And there was another child that the mom was very just, so, you know, and very pristine, and her daughter was like, you know, she looked like Chinese royal, you know, and just kind of seemed like they fit together. And so it was great to be with the babies. And I will say that I was the number one assistant. Barbara never had her wallet or her money. I was always pulling out the money and doing all the exchanges, buttering the bread. You know, she would be holding the baby. I would get all their meals together and ready for them.
And they started a little competition.
Yeah. So there were three single mothers in our travel group. And so they all had, one had another sister, and then one had a cousin that had come with them. And so then we were having a little who's the best assistant type competition. But I clearly won. And I continue to win in the favorite aunt category. I always make Lily say that I'm her favorite aunt, but I think behind my back she says that to everybody, to all her aunts, you know.
I won't make her commit on tape.
So, but our travel to China was good. And then when we came home from China, we get on the airplane and, you know, we were thankful that we were able to fly first class when we went to China. And it was that type of trip that you just make the decision, this is what you need to do in order to take care of yourself and make everything happen. And so we were in the first class cabin, and in the front row seat, they had a little like fold down bassinet. And so you could fold down and put the baby in the little bassinet. Barbara gets on the plane and she says, I'll never sleep the whole 13-hour trip home. And she puts Lily in the little bassinet, and Lily immediately falls to sleep. And 3 minutes later, Barbara's sleeping. All of a sudden I hear, rah, rah. Baby's crying. Barbara is snoozing. I have to wake her up to say, your baby's crying. So, but it was all good. Lily just bonded with her right away. And I think Barbara had said before she had a couple of colleagues that she worked with who live in China. And so they had come to be with us. And it was so wonderful to have your own translators with you. And they were able to get the whole story. And then they helped us. We had lost our luggage and they helped us get our luggage. And, you know, it was just, they made the trip so much easier just because they were there to help us in any way that they could. And
so did they come from the very beginning, or did they come and meet you in Guangzhou?
They came and met us in Guilin. So they came to the Social Welfare Institute with us when they got the babies, and they helped. You know, she was our guide, and she was there to translate, but they also helped translate with the different families and everything, and they did the videotaping.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they held the video camera so that we could all be there. And Mrs. Yuan was telling Barbara, bouncy, bouncy, bouncy is what Lily likes. And so, you know, they helped us to capture all those moments on film. And but it was awesome having the translators. So they went, they came to Guilin, and then they went to Nanning with us, which was the head of her province. I think they were there on adoption day and then they left. So they were maybe with us for 3 days of the trip. And then when we were in Guangzhou, they had some other women that worked at Baxter come and meet us. And then in Guangzhou, we got smarter and got a bigger room for ourselves. Because we were getting a little bit too close. I need my space. And then they came and they sang some songs to the babies and that type of thing. And so it was just nice having, you know, people from China to help us with our experience. And they took us out to dinner one night and said, oh, can we take you to dinner? And so we go to this restaurant, and it was an open market at the bottom, and then you eat upstairs. And so you actually pick out your live food that you're going to eat, and then you go upstairs. And we walked in and were a little bit shocked by the whole thing. And they're like, maybe you should sit upstairs and we'll pick what you're going to eat. We decided that was probably the best idea.
Yeah, you're Americans. We're used to it being shrink-wrapped already. Right. We can just kind of pretend it wasn't actually alive. Yeah.
And then I was lucky enough to also go on the heritage trip with Lily when she was 10. And we got to walk on the Great Wall of China. And I'm teach sixth grade, and we do ancient history, and ancient China is one piece of that. And I just recently showed again my little travels on the Great Wall to my class and said, ha ha, I was there, you know. But it was fun to be with the girls and to see what they thought of China and to just share that experience with them.
What do you make of Lily's desire to find her birth parents?
I think that, you know, it's just a question out there for her. I think that she wants to know everything that she can know about herself, and so that it's a question out there. I think that she knows who her family is and loves her family, and she knows that her family loves her, but she has just a hole that she wants to fill, and it's by understanding who those people are. And I will let you know that Barbara had the paperwork for months, but Jean was the one that made it all happen.
You mean for the adoption itself?
No.
Oh, for the
birth parent search. Yeah. I did all the electronic piece of that.
Yeah, so I'm interested in this. Is that because Barbara's here, so I'll let you, but did you hesitant on some level?
No,
and you
felt not as good on the computer as I am.
That's because somebody else was doing it for her.
Skills.
You had to scan things in and, you know, that type of thing.
So you really were like a partner in this and helping her kind of move forward with the stuff that had to get to Shishi to get in. So you clearly fully support this.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, if she finds her birth parents, I'm out going on that China trip in order to meet the birth parents as well. And we're going to take Kate on a heritage trip when she's 10. So I think Lily will be 21, and we're going back to China at that point.
Do you want to go on that trip, Lily? Yeah. Depends. Who knows what you're doing at 21?
Well, she has to go on it because we're going. We already told her foster parents we were coming back to see them.
Did you know anything about China before this chapter in your life opened?
No, I really didn't. And the funny thing is, even about adoption, my grandfather, my dad's father, had a sister who had a son that was adopted. And every time my grandma said his name, she would say, Benji, he was adopted. for the whole life. I mean, even as an adult, when she would say his name, after that, she would say he was adopted. And so, I mean, I think that was, you know, somebody that was in our family, part of our family, was adopted. You know, it just was like the normal thing. But grandma was so funny because she defined him by that every time she said his name. But then in her later years, she was in a retirement home and there was a guy that had gone blind. And every time she said his name, she'd say, Alan, the blind man. Very loud. Yeah. So I think that was just she for herself, she needed to give an attribute to every person.
So that's interesting because sometimes I think also just, you know, we've talked a lot this afternoon about how others perceive us. And I'm always aware, I try to remind myself that sometimes I think we can get a little bit, we can make assumptions about how others are perceiving us. Like your mother wasn't picking on your relative because he was adopted. She's just always offers these caveats so you know who the blind guy is.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So my grandmother, though, it was not.
Your grandmother, yeah.
My mother was very open to all people.
So tell me about your kind of hopes for Lily. When you look ahead, as I'm sure you do, what do you envision?
I hope she goes to a college that's no farther than 2.5 hours away so that I can come and visit her on the weekend and come back home. Not every weekend, but enough so that I don't miss her.
Guess you guys are close together, physically.
We are. It used to be that we often had, and we still have, like on the weekends, a lot of meals together and that type of thing. She has a very busy schedule, and we like to go to her sporting things and watch her do her sports and be part of her life, even though sometimes when she's doing poorly, she would rather us not be there. But I said, we're going to be there in both the good and the bad. So, but, and I hope that she finds the thing that makes her happy. I think she doesn't know yet what does she want to do as her career or what's that thing in her life that she wants to do in order to make her self happy. But I just feel like certain that she'll find that and she'll do that. But I know she's a good friend. I know she's loyal. And I think that she'll find the right people in the world to hang out with. And then she's going to have a lot of old aunts that she's going to have to take care of. But
so do you have that kind of wistful feeling that I think many of us have that it's going too fast?
Oh, my gosh. When I look at her today, I'm like, how can she be this old and how does it happen that fast? But I'd say, you know, especially when she started high school and started wearing makeup and doing her eyebrows and her lips, and she just started to look so grown up and mature, and just some of the ways that she talks and, you know, just knows what's going on too is just, you feel so happy for her, but at the same time, I want to say, wait, stop time and keep her little and
hit the pause button.
And only wanting to do things with her family and not her friends.
Is there anything that you want to say or put out there about this experience of being an adoptive family of a Chinese kid?
You know, at the beginning when Lily was a baby and then everybody would always say, oh, she's such a lucky girl, you know, when it was us that was lucky. you know, I look at it and say, what would our family be like without her? It would not be as happy and as well-rounded as it is. So I think it's what Barbara was saying before, too. Don't judge what a family is or what a family should be, because, you know, you put a group of people together and they support each other and work together and they're a family and it's all good, you know.